You found Spartan Radio, a production of the Rad Racing Network.
Welcome, Spartan Nation, and thanks for tuning in to Spartan Radio, show number 23, recorded December 6, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, and we're broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a cold and blustery and snowy Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes, of course, done by none other than Carrie over at radracing.org. On Spartan Radio, we look at the latest races, both past and present, cover your stories and tweeted questions, talk about nutrition for racing, basically anything and everything Spartan. If you join us each week, you can do that on Tuesday nights here live, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or subscribe to the show and get all the automatic links that you need for your iPad, iPod, iPhone, or any Android or tablet, phone or tablet at radracing.org. If you are with us live, join us over at Facebook right now and add your comments as we do some live blogging over there. Just go to Facebook and search for Spartan Race and join the conversation. All right. Pre-show, we were all talking about what a nuts, crazy weekend, tired we all are, but we're excited about the show tonight. Carrie, how are you? Good to have you back in Omaha.
I'm good. I'm so tired. I'm so excited that we have like 2 months off. We have January 28th is our next race. It's the first one of 2012. And so now we're in like heavy planning mode. We're in you know, but without travel, which is awesome.
Yeah,
so I get a little bit of
stay around a little bit. Maybe we could do some cold afternoon weekend runs here.
Totally, and I get to see my kids. Huh? Like, yay! Like, you know, so that's good. That's always a good thing. It's good for them to get to see me. So, a couple things to get out of the way. Drinking game. Texas is a drinking game. I'm drinking coffee and Diet Dr. Pepper and water. I have several beverages going right now, and the physical challenge, chocolate milk. The physical challenge tonight for Mr. Sedlak, or I should say Sergeant Sedlak, is stairs. We're gonna be doing stairs tonight, so you can get started whenever you're ready, Todd.
Todd, have you ever seen a inverted stair burpee?
No, show us.
Hey, Todd, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are your legs the envy of every woman you've ever met?
Are you kidding? Look at these legs.
Look at the Tuesday. Get out of here.
That right leg is beautiful.
We'll talk about where that bruise was earned in a second. But we have some news. A couple of things we're really excited about. Gaspari Nutrition is going to be one of our sponsors for 2012. They are also the sponsor for the MMA Awards on Fox, the TV station, December 11th. So definitely check that out. Very, very cool. And then I also wanted to get your guys' opinion. We weren't on last week, but the Biggest Loser Thanksgiving special featured 3 full minutes of the Staten Island Spartan Race. Did you guys check it out? Anybody?
No, I didn't
Bueller?
See it. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, Todd's busy doing. Hey, maybe when we say Texas, you should run up the stairs.
Texas, go.
No, Gary, I didn't get a chance.
He's hopping.
Look at that.
Really good for posture running, hopping.
It was a really great segment. You know, I was really really proud of that team. Team Fredo came, and there were several Biggest Loser alums that raced. There was 8, and they raced as a team. They brought in others that were just inspired by their story, and it was a really neat segment. It was like in the last 15 minutes of the show, right before the bloopers, which were pretty funny too. And it was great to see such a unique challenge and see those guys do so well, especially the slippery wall. There was a lot of that slippery wall, I can tell you, is one of the most horrific slippery walls I've ever been on myself. They had some great shots of them just slamming into the wall. So you can probably hear my 4-year-old coming down.
Oh, that's all right.
Quite loudly. But yeah, it was a great, great segment. We were really excited about it and to be a part of it. So all good things there. Also, Temecula, our first race of 2012, which is January 28th, is now opening a second day of racing, Sunday the 29th. Nice. And it's going to include a relay option. So it's still going to have the individual heats, but you can also sign up and run with a partner and you'll get to run half the race. Now, the cool thing about this is that obviously you can still sign up as an individual, but if you've wanted to try a super and you just don't think you're ready, you want to try a little bit shorter distance, you can split up the race in half, and you both finish, you both get a finisher medal. Very cool, but it's kind of an interesting way to experience the Spartan race. So check that out on our page, www.spartanrace.com. And then a Spartan sighting. I don't know, maybe I'm just a super geek, but do you guys know Bill Henry Rogers? Have you heard of this guy?
I think so.
So he's an American distance runner. He was a record holder, and he won Boston 4 times. He won New York 4 times. I mean, he absolutely revitalized the running scene in the 70s with his wins and his passion. Super cool guy. And we saw him this weekend wearing a Spartan shirt. I have a picture of it up on our Facebook page. So I thought that was kind of cool because he kind of started the whole re-engagement of running in the 70s, and now he's wearing a Spartan shirt. I don't know if that's foreshadowing of what, you know, the future of endurance sports is, but I think that's a pretty good indicator.
He knows a good trend when he sees one.
He sure does. So there's.
Do you see Todd crawling down the stairs there like a squirrel?
He's bear crawling down. Nice. Like a squirrel, not like
it's just called a squirrel,
like a bear.
No, if you go down head first, that's a squirrel crawl.
Nice.
Really? That's what that's
really?
Called?
Really? Does Mario really?
I'm sorry, Carrie, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. No, I just, I was pretty excited to see that. We were out at the Vegas Rock and Roll Marathon this weekend as well. We had a booth out there and had a lot of fun. Although I think that race had a few logistical issues, but it's always a fun organization to hang with. Those guys are good people. So if you were out there and you were part of that fray, I'm sure they will make it up to you. But they're good folks. Another thing I wanted to bring up that we mentioned a little bit before we started recording, there's this little event coming up in a couple weeks. Todd's going to be a part of it. It's a 24-hour race. It's the world's toughest mudder. It's the 24-hour race. And the rules were released, the official rules. And rule number 7 is that burpees will be assessed as a penalty at certain obstacles, which I think is kind of an interesting addition. They've never, in fact, at the Tough Mudder event, you can opt out of certain things if you would like to. And so in this case, you have to
Opt out? Did you say opt out?
Yeah, if you were like, you know what? I'm not feeling monkey bars right now. I'm just going to go around. That's absolutely, doable.
What?
It's true.
Shenanigans. Again, for the second time in 15 minutes.
It's not, their event is not a race. It's very much just a challenge. So
What's the point of challenging yourself if you're not going to challenge yourself, though?
Well, at the 24-hour event, apparently that's not going to cut it. So they are now following the Spartan, penalty gig and doing some burpees. So we're making an impression. So pretty exciting stuff there.
Burpees.
Yeah, tell them what a burpee is.
Yeah, they're defining the burpee as a push up with a jumping jack, which isn't exactly right. We might have to have Hobie show them what that's supposed to look like. But we have several of our Spartan friends that are going to be running out there, and we're very much supporting them, and we're excited to see them do well. So all good things. I also we'll put this in the show notes. I got a really funny video today that was an edited scene from the movie 300. So without giving away too much, check out the show notes when we release them, because it's pretty funny. It has to do with the scene where he asks the other army what their professions are, and then asks his own crew. So pretty cool stuff. So what did you guys do this weekend before we jump into Texas? Anything?
10-miler in the snow.
No big whoop.
Just a 10-miler. That's
the
all.
The snow was waist deep. I don't know if I mentioned that part.
No, not quite. It was, and actually it was ideal conditions. It was about 30 degrees. We're getting pelted with a little bit of ice. We went out by the lake, a couple loops around the lake, and it was great. A little chocolate milk at the end.
The lake where clock blocking was born.
The lake, the very lake, Walnut Creek Recreation in Papillion, Nebraska, and the birthplace of clock blocking.
I got the best email this week. My friend Asia emailed me and said, "Hey, I was at this race this weekend and I was clock blocked by Santas."
Nice.
And it was one of the best. Like, it was one of the funniest things I've ever read. So I'm gonna have to put that on the clock blocking
page.
I mean, who would have thought that Santa would be such a clock blocker? But.
Well, we should remind folks that if you go out to clockblocking.com, you can get all the latest clock blocks that are happening, and we do want your submissions.
Awesome. Yes, so, I want to hear what's holding you up, because that's that it's such a funny, the more people I talk to about it, the more people just are like, oh my gosh, that's happened to me.
I moved,
tell you my story. It's like therapy.
It is. And it's funny. I was interviewed. I think I told the story a while back. I was interviewing this guy for a job and he said, don't you do something with clock blocking? Are you kidding? He goes, my friend has a story for you. Like they had been thinking about it. So
they discussed it.
This last weekend, after the run, I spent some time moving that onto a faster, better site. So still the same address, clockblocking.com, but a faster, newer site, and we like your submissions. Just send those to you, Carrie. What email address?
Carrie@SpartanRace.com, CARRIE@SpartanRace.com.
Or you can send those to podcast@radracing.org if you want to do that way as well, and I'll get those posted out.
They're so funny. The stories, I love it. It's all so good. So, Texas. Holy crap. Texas was huge. They say things are bigger in Texas. Things were huge in Texas. We had our first ever cash prize heat. We gave away $20,000. Just saying. Like, that's kind of a big deal. So, we're going to talk to you tonight. And Jim, if you want to go ahead and get her queued up here. Jenny Tobin, who is an Xterra adventure racer. She's absolutely amazing. Just to put it in context, she was winning Ironman events when I was in my early 20s. So this woman is, and I'm not telling you how old I am now, but it's not early 20s. This woman's phenomenal. She's a really amazing addition to our event and our sport. And it was thrilling to have her there. So we're going to talk to her about her experience. We're also, next week, most likely, we're going to talk to Hobie Call. He and his wife, Irene, were there. Hobie took top spot, but not by much. He had a Josiah Madow on his, gosh, I'm sorry, my throat's not doing awesome tonight, on his heels for a huge part of the race. And actually, there were some lead changes there. And our video this weekend will show you how incredibly close that race really was. And so be sure to check that out. But the cool thing too, Hobie's wife, Irene, took third for women, which is awesome. I mean, that family is like a racing royalty for obstacle racing. So top spot to comb 10 grand, second place, got all expense paid trip.
Your calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor, please hang up now.
Well,
I'm confused.
We're not a solicitor. The call, press 1.
I'm not selling anything except my humor.
Let's see. So their service won't accept my call.
You've been stood up, Jim.
I've been blocked. I've been clock blocked.
You've been clock blocked. You've been e-clock blocked.
We've been clock blocked.
That's really difficult to say.
How do I...
I feel like because I don't have video right now, I'm like that Skype ghost that just or not even ghost. I'm like a poltergeist where my voice just comes in.
More like
and
stalker.
Contributes absolutely nothing except more sound. That's all I do. I could hum. I could ooh. I could ah.
You can, and you can continue to.
Mm-hmm. I have sound effects.
Do we have a backup plan?
Well,
Jim?
That's what I'm trying to think about right now. I've never run into this problem before.
I'm upset now. I had some questions for her.
Let's see. What could I do? How could I bring her in on my phone?
Todd, why are you stopped?
Just give me a sec, Gary.
We can also bring Margo in. Margo's on, and Margo was in Texas. So we can always talk to Miss Margo.
Margo!
So anyway.
Okay. How was Texas?
Texas. Okay, so we're just going to kind of talk at a high level. So first of all, Texas was our race, last race of the year. It was a super, so it was more than 8 miles. It was less than 9. Our official race report is coming out tomorrow, and I know that because I'm the one that's writing it, so I need to get on the ball and get that out there. But as I mentioned, Hobie took top spot for the men. And Jenny Tobin took top spot for the women. We did a kind of an experiment with the Hurricane Heat. This was on Friday night. We worked with GORUCK, great organization, do GORUCK challenges all over the country, military style, led by Green Berets. And we tried something new. There's been a lot of feedback. And so going into 2012, we are going to be working really hard on making a really solid formula, accounting for all the feedback that we get on past hurricane heats. We're really looking for some constructive information, what people really liked, what they're looking for. So I'm encouraging people to email me, Carrie@SpartanRace.com, with their feedback on not just Texas, but we've had several hurricane heats so far, and just kind of what people are thinking about, what they want to see in 2012. So the thing about Spartan Race is we are always pushing the envelope. We're always trying new things. We want to see what we can do. We were born out of the death race, and so that expect the unexpected attitude is something that we certainly want to continue to promote, but we want it to be something that makes sense. And something that we can take with us city to city and expose people to and have a good time and still challenge them with something unique and fun. So definitely get back to me on that and let me know what people are looking for, and we'll move forward in 2012. So on Saturday, we had a full day of racing. I got to say, I don't know what it is about like me going to these places that are supposed to be warm, but when I go there, they're never warm, ever. Like Malibu, cold. Texas, cold, rainy.
It's because you're such a warm individual.
I don't think so. I think
no. I think I have a cold individual.
No, I think I have really bad travel luck. I never go on a trip where it just seems to go smoothly. There's always things that break and explode, and I mean, it's just I'm very patient in travel. I'm patient in life, but I'm extraordinarily patient in travel because I think that you have to be. And now I can't hear you guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You got audio?
Okay. That was bizarre.
I can hear
so anyway, that was a weird moment. So anyway, Saturday, crazy day. Beautiful course. We were at Rough Creek Lodge in Texas. It's like 11,000 square feet of private property. When we got out there on Friday and we were doing some scouting, we went by the barbed wire, and I've got some amazing pictures I'll put out there for you, but the barbed wire section was quite long and was right over cactus, like big, massive sections of cactus. And roaming just nearby were several bulls and cows. And I literally had to stop for a second, and I'm like, are they on the course? Like, is this actually, they're on the course? And I talked to the owner, and he's like, absolutely. He's like, they're fine. They're not going to hurt anybody. Just go around. It's considered another obstacle is how he put it to me. So I thought that was kind of cute. But yeah, it was a great course, beautiful course, flat. We did find some excellent hills for some sandbag carrying and another kind of nice little loop for the gravel carry. We had 36 obstacles in this course. A water crossing that was pretty awesome. And then the bruises that Todd is sporting on his legs. Todd, do you want to talk about where those bruises came from? So pretty.
So there was a – I only learned the name of this yesterday. Tyrolean Traverse, I guess, is the name of the horizontal rope spanning the water obstacle.
Yes.
And nice calves.
If you used your legs good and properly, you tended to break a few blood vessels here and there. So I made it.
Todd, I just want to slap steaks all over you.
It's too late for steak.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
I do what I can for you, buddy. I do what I can.
Carrie, we are calling Jenny. I got another number for her.
Hello.
Hey.
Ah, Jenny.
I'm here.
We had a few calling issues, but we never tend to have a show without some sort of something. So we were just kind of recapping the course, but now that you're with us, first of all, huge congratulations. You did amazing.
Oh,
we have the results here. You actually finished in an hour 45, and your closest was an hour 52, so you had quite a sizable lead, and amazing job to you. So congratulations on your win.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
So your background is completely not in this sport whatsoever. So can you kind of tell people a little bit about your background as an athlete?
Okay. Let's see. I ran cross country and track in college and played 1 year of basketball. And then when I finished with college, I got into running quite a bit more and ran some marathons. And then my knees started to bother me a little bit, so I started to swim and bike and got into triathlons and did the age group thing for a number of years and then got involved in racing professionally in duathlon, which is running, biking, and running, and then became a professional triathlete in mostly in Xterras, although I did do some road and did happen to win a shortened version of the Ironman Utah in 2002, and then did some balance bar adventure racing, which I think is probably the closest thing that came to the Spartan racing, because they did have obstacles or group kind of challenges that you had to do. So so that's kind of my background. I'm also a PE teacher, so I kind of can do a lot of different things, but I did get to practice climbing a rope because in my gym we do have ropes that hang from the ceiling. So so I did get to practice that. And so, yeah, but not, definitely not, I mean, you know, there, I was told there were 36 obstacles in 8 miles. And definitely a lot of those obstacles I'd never seen before.
Well, yeah, we talked briefly before you guys took off, and just, you know, kind of had a brief conversation going in the course before I took off to sweep, and you guys were excited and ready to go. And so being completely different than what you're used to, what are your impressions of first of all the course itself?
Well, I thought it was very challenging. I, you know, didn't know how to pace myself because I wasn't sure if I would be able to finish. And, yeah. And Mike, the, course director, he had said that there was more upper body, obstacles in this one than the race that I did in Malibu. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely a bit concerned as to if I was strong enough in the upper body to do a lot of the things. And, I think I paced myself pretty well, although, I was actually wishing that I had a little bit more calories in me by the time I made it to the second to the last, well, I guess third to the last, the Tyrolean Traverse or whatever you call that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That just about killed me. And I felt like I needed just a little bit more. I would have probably taken a gel if I'd had it, a goo, mm-hmm. but I took it earlier in the race and felt like I needed it when I took it, but I felt like I probably could have used one more. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So definitely a different, totally different than Malibu, because you were in Malibu as well. And that
yeah.
one was more hills, more steep terrain, whereas this one was probably a little bit more, I mean, still the long stretches in between. I mean, it was a longer course. But
yeah,
I felt like, too, more concentrated with obstacles and more, totally more upper body. There was a lot more of
yeah.
just needing to be strong. And I mean, we had sandbag carry and the gravel carry. And
yes.
I mean, there's a lot of that going on. And every time go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, what was interesting is that this course, the first part was fairly flat. And then the second half was the hilly part, which, yeah, you had to carry the sandbag up and then down. And then you had a number of up and downs in between carrying the bucket of gravel. So, so there was still a fair amount of up and down. I mean, it was almost like it was just the second half. So it was kind of like the second half was very similar to, Malibu in that regard, because we just kept going up and down the same hill, which, you know, that was the same in Malibu. It was just a different trail up and down the same.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I would say that the first half was seemed a little less challenging in terms of running, you know, in terms of up and down, but just as challenging because you had all the mud and stuff to get through. I mean, along the creek bed there was just a sloppy mess. I mean, had it not rained, maybe it would have been less tricky, but I mean, I fell a few times.
Well, we had you guys run second to last on the day, and ahead of the GORUCK heat. So you guys were absolutely on a course that had been run through by, you know, 3,500 people. So, you know, normally that competitive heat's the first of the day. And so you're seeing that course completely undisturbed. And so I think that was another reason why it was even more challenging, because I ran right ahead of you guys. And and I kept saying to people after the fact, when it's so sloppy like that, you're not moving as fast, but you're working harder to not move as fast because it's so heavy. So you're exerting a lot more effort, and you're going a lot slower than you would
and
like
my
to.
My shoes, I didn't have the right shoes. My shoes must have weighed 5 pounds each. I mean, I just took them off afterwards, and I was like, oh my goodness, these are not the shoes to wear for this event.
Well, that's actually a great, what do you think would be a good, because we get this question all the time, and I've run in several different types of shoes, and sometimes it's just because I don't plan well when I pack, and sometimes it's whatever is clean, but like what do you think would have been a great shoe? Just
I know Nike used to make a pair of shoes that would have been really good, that my husband has a pair of, and they were their water shoes that drained really easily. And so they were really light. They were, you know, kind of like a racing flat, but they drained really well. And so I think that's what you need, because inevitably, I mean, even in Malibu, I mean, the first 50 yards we went through water. Feet were soaking wet, you know, there. Yeah. And I didn't figure out, you know, that those shoes were maybe not the right shoes to wear. But being in all that mud too in Dallas, and water, that they definitely, that was the wrong shoe selection.
So what did you think of that Trevelyan Traverse at the end? It was basically, so the course, the back half of the course was, there was a good deal of running stretches in between, but there was like a cinder block drag after the balance beam. Yeah. And then from there was kind of a pretty flat, you know, straightaway out to the, and it was a single track, I think. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy or technical, but it was pretty flat, just you know, just go for it. And then you get to this water crossing and there's this traverse. What did you think of that?
Well, I was thinking on that flat run that I needed that goo. Because I knew I had that Tyrolean traverse, and I kept, you know, when I first saw in the rules that, you know, you had to complete that task, that you couldn't just do burpees if you didn't complete it. And I had gotten there early to pick up my number, you know, and so forth. And I watched people, and there were very few people that made it across it. And I kept saying, oh, the smart people are just dropping off right at the very beginning and just going to do their burpees. Yeah, swimming across and doing their burpees. That was much faster. So I was like, okay, but that's not an option. So I was looking at the different techniques, and I've been on a zip line before, but that's where you have a harness.
Right.
And, you know, I pulled myself, you know, up, you know, once, you know, you kind of get past the sag of, you know, going down and have to pull yourself up. So that I was used to, but I wasn't used to, you know, no harness. So I tried the on top. So I watched all these people and did their different techniques. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try the on top of the rope first, and I'll likely fall, and have to go the rest of the way, you know, with, you know, hanging on with my legs and arms. And sure enough, I only made it, I don't know, maybe 10 feet on top, and then flipped over. And my arms were so shot that I I literally could not pull. And I knew if I had to just pull with my arms that I was falling off. So I had seen somebody just sort of hook their elbows over the rope and their knees and just kind of slowly plod away that way. And so I was moving maybe 3 inches at a time.
But, yeah.
But I made it and, you know, I had to take breaks. But after the race was over, my friend Josiah said that the second place girl had gotten on the traverse while I was still on it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. Had I known that, one of my friends was like, well, would that have made it any different? Would that have been worse or what? And I said, no, that would have made it better. Cause I think if I'd known somebody was on it, mm-hmm. I think I would have been able to go faster. But
well,
I don't think the
audience didn't know, like normally at our races, if you fail an obstacle, you can do 30 burpees and then just move on. With that particular obstacle, we gave the participants 3 shots. And if you didn't get across in 3 chances, you were DQ'd. So there was no option to drop off and do burpees because, I mean, obviously, to your point, everybody would have just, you know, you know, maybe a few and you know, not to diss the chicks, but, you know, that tends to be one that the men have a little bit easier time with. So a lot of people would have just dropped and done burpees and been done with it. But you guys had to get across some way and grab that rope at the end and to get across. So you didn't have an option.
No, the other thing was, is that I guess the second place gal said that she thought she was just going to jump off and do burpees. She said that she didn't hear Mike at the very beginning say that, nor did she apparently read the rules, but she said she made it not very far and just decided she was just going to drop in and do the burpees. And then they told her that she had to go back and do it over.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess at least I knew, you know, what I had to do. And so it was just a matter of focusing and getting through it. But it was painful, I'm sure, for people to watch.
Well, it was so funny. You know, we afterwards, because there's so many different approaches to get across. And actually, Margaret, who ended up in sixth place, she's a good friend of ours. She's on the line with us, too. It took her the 3 tries, and there's a great video of it. And I think she was the only one that was able to do that, because it's demoralizing, you know, to get, especially at that point in the race, you're cramping, you're tired, and it's one of the most physically full body challenges that is out there. And that's a real testament of, you know, getting through it.
I don't know how she did it. If I would have fallen off, I don't think I would have made it the second time around. Because,
well, there's
how hard it is to get just a short distance, and then to think that you're going to fall off and then you're going to have to go that distance again plus the rest of the way. I'm not sure I would have made it. And that's what I just kept telling myself. You cannot fall off this rope.
Well,
fall off.
Well, yeah, Margaret got, I mean, she, the second time too, she was so close. I mean, so close. And so just to have that like mental, like, I am going to go do this. Like, I'm going to get this done.
Yeah,
like,
that's impressive.
It is. And I think that, you know, so many of those obstacles, and then it was great that there were so many that we were able to see because of how the festival grounds were laid out. You know, we could see you guys swimming, coming into the 5K distance. We were able to see the slippery wall and the rope climb and some of those things. But that one was right before there was the traverse wall and the fire jump, and that was it. And we were at the end of the race. And so it was really like close to the 9 mile mark on a really tough course. And so, you know, kudos to you guys. And I mean, just for finishing, let alone the speed with which you did. I mean, just what an amazing effort. And we are so glad to have you out and have like some new faces towards the end of the season come out and really compete and show, you know, that side of the sport.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause you know, I hadn't really heard of it, but, Addie, was my teammate in the balance bar racing series. And he is like, oh, you got to go do these. These are right up your alley. You got to go do it. So that was, he was kind of the push to get me to to go try it. But once I tried the one in Malibu, I was like, these are pretty fun. I kind of like these.
Yeah,
and, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just they are. It's such a different thing. You know, I raced in Temecula last year, and actually Jason is in our chat right now. He's one of our Spartan employees. He's amazing. He's actually doing the Epic Man in January in Hawaii, and that's where he's training right now. But he's like, you got to come do this. It's awesome. And I remember like hearing him talk about it and thinking that sounds horrible. Like why would anybody want to do that? And yeah. then you do it, and you're like, wow, this is
that's
awesome.
Okay. Yeah,
totally non-traditional.
Yeah.
It's totally outside the box.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's exciting. You know, even when I was just sweeping, I got to the cinder block drag. And I was like, that's the festival. Like how far left is there? She's like, I think it's just like 3/4 of a mile. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. It goes by so quickly, and you're engaged every step of the way. You're just forced to be thinking about what you're doing, where you're going.
Right.
So it's and even, you know, trail running is so much about that anyway, but then you throw up an 8-foot wall, and then it's like, okay, well, here we go.
I guess
we're doing this too.
Yeah. I agree. But no, it's funny. I think the first adventure race that my husband did, one of his teammates said, you seem to like suffering. I think you'll be a good adventure racer. And I told that to Josiah. I go, you know, I kind of like that Malibu race. I think you'll like these. It's kind of a little bit of suffering, but they're kind of fun because they're challenges, and you do have to think the whole time. You can't zone off, you know,
right.
Like in a marathon, you kind of,
yep.
you know, can you just kind of plod away, where this, you can't just plod away. You've got to stay focused the whole time. So
when you can tell, you know, Mike Morris, is an accomplished adventure racer as well. And you can feel that in these courses.
Yeah.
You can see where he gets really dynamic and interesting with the courses and the trails. And one of the things that we say all the time is that we're obstacle racing, but we're not about building a course around obstacles. We're about putting obstacles inside of a course.
Right.
So
right.
the terrain
yeah.
is a critical part. I mean, we have standard things, like we do bucket carries and we do like these different things, but it varies venue to venue because we really utilize the geography that we're given. And Mike and Nick Moore is the same way. Nick is our other course designer.
Mm-hmm.
They just do really interesting, awesome trails that you would want to run anyway, but putting the obstacles in there makes it even more interesting and challenging, but they're just really awesome courses. And you can feel that sort of adventure race flavor when you run his courses.
Yeah, definitely you can, for sure. So,
well, we were so glad that you came out and raced Malibu and Texas. You know, both, you know, had some similarities. I loved that, and I was saying this before we got started tonight, that, you know, really the ability to go to these different locations and see these races and these courses and get to run them is such a great thing. You know, I'm really excited the direction the sport's going, and 2012 is going to be a really big year for us as an organization. And in terms of what we bring, we're always looking for new, exciting, awesome courses to bring to people. And we're excited to show everybody that. And so thank you for being a part of our season in 2011.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your win.
Thanks
for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. I'm sure you're tired. Are you sore at all still? How are you feeling?
I am bruised from, you know, believe it or not. I mean, after the Malibu race, I was sore, like upper body more, and kind of just core sore. Like my whole core was sore, but not so much my legs or anything. And then, so I was kind of prepared for that for this one, but I don't think I would have been as sore except for that darn Tyrol Introvert. I am bruised from about mid-thigh on the backside to about mid-calf from hooking my legs over, you know, the thing. And then also the crook of my arm, so about mid-bicep to forearm, I'm bruised. So when you called, I was actually putting the Arnica cream on. Trying to soothe the bruises. But you know, for some reason, bruises don't seem to hurt as bad as, like, like core, like deep core muscle soreness. So like I can sit down on the toilet, let's put it that way, and it doesn't hurt. But I can't cross my legs because, like, you know, when you sit down to cross your legs, you're putting pressure on those bruises. So it's like if something touches the bruises, then I'm sore. But if, you know, in terms of like, I feel like I could, I mean, like I've been able to run laps with my kids at school and, you know, do sit-ups and push-ups and that kind of stuff with them. But like I said, if somebody grabs hold of my leg or gives me a hug, you know, because I have like kindergartners, I'm like, okay, don't touch the back of my leg.
Avoid the bruised parts.
Yeah, avoid the bruises.
Well, and it's so funny because you don't, I, you know, I'll walk away from those anymore too. And you don't even remember where you got some of them, and you find
right.
new ones and you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah, the worst I know where mine came from though. This
I think the worst.
It all came from that last summer.
The worst is like getting in the shower and the little cuts, the little, like, especially
the
under the barbed wire
yeah.
and the hot
yeah.
water you, and you're just right. like, oh, they're everywhere. The cuts
yeah.
are
everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Josiah was a little bit more cut up than I was. I was like, what happened? How come you got so many cuts?
Well, and wow, was he amazing to watch. We're going to have some
yeah.
great footage this weekend.
Oh, I hope so.
Him and Hobie, I mean, they pushed the whole way, neck and neck. I mean, it was great to watch
yeah.
those two. And you know, Hobie's seen some of these things before.
Right.
And he's just he transitioned so well. Hobie just does so
yeah.
well between obstacle and running, and it's just so fast and just
mm-hmm.
Strong. And Josiah was right there with him. It was such an exciting finish. We were all standing around and like watching them come down the trail, and Hobie came out of the trailhead, and we were just like, oh my God, it's so close. And the radio's going, like, where everybody is. It was such an exciting finish. We really
yeah.
we had a great top five on both sides. Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
Day.
Yeah. So cool, very cool. Yeah, very fun. Very fun.
Well,
so in a weird way.
I know,
painful
right?
way.
Well, we are so grateful to have had you on tonight. We'll hopefully, you know, be seeing you again and
yeah.
we're you know, again, big congratulations on your win. It was such an exciting
right.
heat and fun to watch and fun to be a part of. So
thanks.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. All right. Thanks.
Thanks,
Thank
Jenny.
You.
Appreciate it.
All right. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Good night. What a cool woman. She's awesome. I'm so, so, so excited that she came on tonight and she talked to us, because she's very cool. Go ahead.
Do you think if I asked her if we could switch arms, she might say yes?
Oh, she literally,
she's
so
ripped.
Before, she's small. She's really strong, though. Like, she's very petite.
Yeah, I was looking
really
at
strong.
Pictures of her. I was looking at pictures of her, and I was like, I kind of want to just trade bodies with her, honestly. Like, I want to have intimidating strength.
Well, can I just say, like, before the heat, she and Josiah came up to me. They're good friends. They're both, like I said, really accomplished athletes, and came up to me. We're just kind of chit chatting. They were so, so kind and so gracious and so excited. I mean, really excited to be doing this. And, you know, she did so well in Malibu. She won Malibu as well a couple weeks ago. And there were some, you know, to the conversation, there were some similarities to the courses, but this one definitely had more flat stretches. I mean, obviously it was longer, so there was more mileage to cover, but it was a really great race to watch play out. And I was really excited that so much of it was visible. And having run it just before, it was a fun course, really fun course. And we'll, at the very end, we'll ask Margaret a little bit about it too. I want to get through a couple things first before we get to the hour. But, couple things about 2012 I want to just throw out there. We are introducing a corporate team building challenge. There's some really cool stuff that's going to go along with that. So there's going to be more things you're going to hear about it. Basically, for the next month and a half or so, we're doing a lot of planning. So 2012, there's going to be a lot of great things that are going to be coming at you. And we're kind of finalizing what some of those things look like and going to get the messaging out. Our race in Colorado is on the 5th and 6th of May, so Cinco de Mayo. And it's our first ever military series out of Fort Carson. It's the first of its kind. It's going to be about 5 miles. We're still kind of finalizing the course components. It's still going to be a chip timed event. Given the location, it's going to be a mix of Spartan branded obstacles along with combat engineered obstacles, which is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And the racers themselves are going to vote on the most badass obstacles out there. So that's such a cool thing. That's one that you definitely, if you want to travel to a race this year, this would be one to travel to. There's going to be some amazing stuff there. So definitely check that out on our webpage. Different metal, totally different, not different feel. It's still very Spartan, but it's going to have this whole flavor of special forces and our military series. That's going to just be like nothing we've ever done before. So we're really excited about that. Also, we're introducing a Pacific Northwest event, which is going to be June 16th. First time we're going to be in that market. Very exciting. People have been begging us for a very long time to go there. Also, Indiana. Indiana has been just killing it, this corn-fed Spartans movement. Those guys have been working so hard to get us to come to Indiana. And so that's very realistically going to be another new market for us. And then Hawaii, which our very own Jason Jay is there now training for his Epic Man Challenge. Those guys have been trying to get us to Hawaii as well. And so if we can get the numbers, we're coming. So for anyone out there, if we're not close enough to you today, if you can get us the numbers, tell us about some cool places to race. It's very, very likely that we could get there. So 34 events in 2012. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. We're really excited about that. Lots more 2-day events. They're also introducing the Angora Grill, which is going to be cool. That's going to be at some of our events. Just another sort of feature of the Spartan Race Festival area, food, drinks, really amazing food, which if you were in Texas, we had fantastic food. We had brisket. There's bacon in it. I just can't even begin to tell you how happy I was about that. There was sausage and potato salad, really traditional ribs, like really traditional, Texas food. It was awesome. We had a pig roast. It's always fun. Check out our blog too. We always have great stories coming out. We've got a few that we dropped this week. Today's actually, people have been asking me forever about proper form for pull-ups, squats, bicep curls, things like that. So we dropped a great post out. My friend Dan Camp actually wrote it. It's awesome. There's a video too, so it helps kind of give you some context around training. There's going to be so much more coming out in 2012 around training as well, how to prepare for races, those kinds of things. Obviously, we still have our workouts of the day, so there's a lot to go on with that. And then one of our biggest announcements that we've been talking about for a while for 2012, we're going to be giving free digital prints at every event in 2012. New Vision Action Image is our photographer, our vendor for that, and they are amazing. They do some of the best pictures that I've literally ever seen. They're not just athletic and physical, but they're artistic, and there's so much to be said for that. Because the sport has moments that are slowed down with the obstacles, they're able to capture some really fantastic shots. And so when you go to these races, it's like $30 to get one digital print. And half the time, like if it's a triathlon, it's like you on your bike, like just going. And so there's nothing really awesome about it. These races are completely different. So every digital print we capture of you will be free. We're completely redefining, racing photography. So keep that in mind as well as Todd scales the inner walls of the stairs.
He's going at the stairs. He's going up the stairs from the center.
He's climbing things like a superhero, like Spider-Man. Sergeant Spidey. I don't know. Do any of those names work?
I think all of them.
Of them work. Should we get a jersey with all of the names on it for him? All of them.
So yeah. So 2012. So much is coming. We're going to be talking more about all of these things. We're going to talk to Hobie and Irene Call in a future show soon. Congratulate him on his win, Irene on her win. She's seriously one of the coolest chicks ever. She was rocking a Spartan Chick shirt. Margo was rocking a Spartan Chick shirt. And Margo is on with us right now. Margo took sixth, and she was nursing a nasty ankle. And she had flown in, and she had to hang out with me all day. So clearly that probably drained her a great deal, having to listen to my bad jokes. So she's here. Margo, first of all, congratulations. Amazing
Thank
job.
You.
I know you've been training all year for some stuff, and this one kind of just jumped, like you were able to get free for this kind of last minute and got signed up. So what did you think of the course? What were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought the course was awesome. You know, it was definitely challenging. You know, I really like the mountains of Vermont, so I missed the mountains. We did have a couple little hills, but you know, it had some pretty tough obstacles, and it was pretty much every obstacle I think we've ever seen at a Spartan race, all put together all at once.
Yeah, I think we threw everything at you guys. In fact, several people told me. I felt this vibe myself for sure too. It was very much like a mini beast. I mean, it was very, physically challenging. You know, the course itself was as technical as it could be given the terrain. We found as many hills as we could find. I think the sandbag hill was just mean. I mean, that one was like, and by the time you guys got to it, like, we were on it the day before for the hurricane heat, and it was so much gravel. Like, it was ridiculous. Trying to just walk on it was stupid. And then, you know, at least by the time we got on it the next day, it was less sort of just unstable. But where Mike finds, or where Mike, I think, sort of defines his own style, is really finding these really unique features. And then not just finding them, but then go, you know what? I'm also going to make you carry a sandbag up this hill. So we're not just going to have you run it, but you're going to carry two like 30-pound sandbags, and we'll see how that moves you. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that make these races so interesting and unique is, you know, a sandbag is a sandbag until you have to carry it up a hill like that, or until you have to carry it up a mogul hill in Vermont for the beast.
For a run with Joe and Jason, yes, and you have to bushwhack it up a mountain, which was, I was actually, you know, like flashing back to 5 a.m. in the morning, like going up a mountain with those guys and Stevie, who also works with you guys. And I was like, oh, I just did this a couple weeks ago. Awesome. This is easy. And I was like running down and passing people on the way down. That's, you know, I'll carry stuff all day. You know, that's where Katie McCabe and I, we get along, because we'll both just carry strange objects for long periods of time and, you know, weight that most other people would, you know, kept saying that was the hardest obstacle. And we were, you know, that to me, that was one of the easier ones. That and, you know, carrying the gravel and the bucket, all that stuff was easy. It was some of the other ones that were less fun, I would say.
I greatly, greatly, greatly disliked the sandbag carry. I won't even begin to tell, like, I can't even, like, when I think back on that part, like, it makes me well up. Like, I think that was probably, especially the timing of it. Like, that's the other thing Mike does, is he times things. So it's like, this wouldn't be bad if it was at the beginning, but I'm not putting it at the beginning. I'm putting it at the end where it's going to just suck. So, I mean, those are like, I mean, even in Temecula last year, I remember going up like this long stretch into the mountain and getting to the top, and there was an 8-foot wall. And I was like, really? Like, I just totally blew up my quads, like trying to get up here. Now I have to get over that wall. Are you kidding me? So, those are always unique features. What did you think of the water? So we talked a little bit about your water crossing and that your three valiant efforts in getting across it. And I've seen the video of it, and it's so like, everyone's like, come on, you can do it. And then you do it.
Well, the person that actually videoed that's Hobie's brother, Forrest Call, has been doing the videos for Hobie all year. And it asked me if it would be okay if he shot some video of me for my blog before the race started. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, it's always fun to get to watch afterwards. Little did I know that he was going to be standing there, you know, watching me do that traverse all three times. But, you know, the first time I went around, I had listened to you guys. Carrie had said to make sure you go on top of the rope and not underneath. And because I hadn't made that in Vermont when we did it here. And so started out on top and then flipped over, lost my balance. I had no idea what I was doing. That was the first time I'd ever tried to traverse a rope on top of it. You know, figure why not in a championship race try to do something new. yeah, not the smartest thing. But so I ended up getting part of the way across, and there was no way I was going to make it the rest of the way. So went back around, did it a second time, and was literally within like one or two pulls. After I watched the video again, it made me realize how close I was, and that was pretty demoralizing to fall when being that close and knowing that I had one more chance left to go. I literally was, as I walked around the last time, Forrest was saying to me, he goes, "You look like my brother at the death race right now." He goes, "I'm seeing the death race." He goes, "You just have this look that you know you have to do it again, and you know you don't want to do it again." And so I sat there before I went the last time. I actually had a goo pack still kind of hidden away, and just took a few minutes and had to, refocus, recenter. And I remember saying to myself, I did not travel from Vermont to Texas to DQ. Yeah. Like it was like 500
yards,
feet.
Yeah.
From, yeah, you know, whatnot. From the finish, I'm like, I did not get this far. So really at that point in the race, it for me, it was my place position sort of stopped matter. Like I stopped caring about my place. It was about finishing the race at that point. And I think that that's something that a lot of people that do these races, it's about finishing for them. And this was the first time that I'd raced where it was really about finishing. So as I got on the rope that last time, I could have been on that rope for an hour and there was no way that I was going to come off that rope. It was just not an option. And, when I pulled that rope, when I pulled the little rope they tie at the end, when you get to the end, that was like the happiest moment of the race. Although I don't even look it in my face. I'm just so put in so much energy and the focus all went to that moment. But, it was this, definitely this moment in time where it was like, there is no before, there is no after, there's just right now. And I've got to get this done. Because I had already done 90 burpees as well at that point, because I had fallen on more obstacles than I've ever fallen on before. Mike, as you said before, did an amazing job of putting obstacles in places that made it a lot harder to accomplish them. And I talked to a lot of guys in the heat, and we all weren't used to racing with muddy obstacles and muddy ropes. And, spoke with Jung Young, who finished third, I believe. And he fell on the monkey bars, and he's like, "That's the easiest thing for me normally," but they were so muddy when we got there that I definitely
we talked too about like whether or not having the competitive heat go last should be the standard, because if you guys are the toughest out there, like, let's give you the toughest time of day to run, because obviously with the course so degraded by that point, it's a totally new game. But it's, again, like all things we're talking about for 2012, but that course was just, and I love when you came around after the swim and you were doing the we were yelling at you. And you get this look on, like, your race face is so intense. And I was like, she's going to hurt me. Like, and we're yelling and you're like totally tuned out. I mean, I know we knew you could hear us, but you were totally tuned out and like focused, game face. And it was a really fun heat to watch. I told several people after the fact that it was really exciting. Like it was a sporting event. Like there was that same energy that you would get watching a sport you paid a ticket for. And that's what we're trying to show people, is like, this is a sport. This is really exciting to watch. And we had so many people stick around to watch this go down, and what a great race it is. And I think people will definitely see that when the video comes out this weekend, because there's just so many great things about it. So,
Sorry, Kate. It was phenomenal. The support when I came out of the water, I mean, there had to be well over 100 people or so, 200 people that just decided to stick around and watch. They had raced hours before. Some had even gone back. They showered, came back to the race. So it was really neat to have all that support. And I definitely heard all the yells. I heard your yell, Carrie, as well.
Oh, my Very voice loud. Are you kidding me? This voice this voice just carries. But I have a very appropriate first name.
There are also a lot of the crew, your Storm Chaser crew, that were there cheering along as well. And it was pretty overwhelming. Not that you'd see it in my face, and Maria's seen the race face, and she thought that it was probably going to beat somebody up at the time.
Not somebody, everybody.
Everybody.
I thought she was going to kill everybody.
You know, so I don't even know what I look like when I do the races. And, I kind of feel bad afterwards when I watch the video and I go, wow, I look pretty mean.
It's so mean.
I thought you were mad. I was like, Carrie, you're making her angry.
I know. He goes, Carrie, she's not going to like you yelling at her like that. He literally did. He's like, stop yelling at her like that. And I was like, no. She wants to hear it. She just won't acknowledge it. Cause I wasn't yelling like, you suck, Margaret. I was being encouraging in my yelling. I was helping.
When Margo has her race face, she looks like an indignant person in an interrogation session. Like that's the only thing I can think about. She's just like, she just has FU written on her forehead. She's just like,
I just have to say though, you are so nice. I saw you when you had your headphones on, you were warming up, like, you know, getting into your game zone. And that goofy guy walked up to you and was like, can you take my picture? And you like totally took your headphones out and stopped what you were doing and took his picture. Like,
I was
like a total pro. That was.
I actually said to that guy, I helped him out. And I did whatever. But I was like, look, I'm racing in 15 minutes. I'm getting ready for a race right now. It's going to be quick. I'm like, quick. We got to do this. Like, let's move on.
Well, and I was out on the back half of the course, and like there was still people on the course, and we're, you know, on the radios going back and forth, getting ready for you guys to go off. And I just said I knew how far I was into it, and I just said on the radio, I'm like, just be advised, there will be people still back here when these guys come through. And there was several people, and it was so cute because the volunteers were like, how are we going to know when it's a competitive heat people? And I was like, oh, you'll know. Like, they will have very short shorts on. They will be like shirtless, and they will be like on it. I was like, this will be a totally different group of people than you've seen all day. Because, you know, 95% of the people that come race, they just want to come run. They want to run with their team and hang out and have a good time. And that's awesome. Like, that's totally what we're about. But that 5%, we want to let those 5% just cut loose and race. And it's the shorty shorts and the shirtless and the very intense people that are doing that. And like Jason Jaksetic is a perfect example of the shorty short. I actually tell people the shorter the shorts, the more competitive the person. And if their legs are shaved, like, watch out, they will punch you. They will punch
shorty
you.
Shorty shorts, sweatbands, and compression socks are beastie.
You just
are beastie's racing uniform. You will never, ever miss him. Ever.
You just explained Jason to a T. Like, completely. That's Jason. Like, that's exactly. Like, that's his uniform, pretty much. That's so funny. Oh my God, I love it. That's so funny.
And he wears. He has, like, I've only encountered him actually like once on race day at the Beast, but he has two faces. He has the, and then the, oh hey, what's up? Oh, I'm so happy I'm done. Adrenaline rush. And you're like, you're still dressed ridiculously. Like, we're all done. We are all in our regular clothes, and you're still in shorty shorts and compression socks. And would it kill you to put a shirt on? I'm just kidding.
We'll stay on for a few minutes afterwards, but we'll kind of wrap up the show. We have a ton. So the background, the summary is that basically we're 2012 is going to be big. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to go bigger, go badder, go better, and we're excited about showing that off to everybody. And in the first race, Temecula, January 28th and 29th, we have that Sunday day of racing open now, and that relay option, which is just completely cool. I kind of want to do that. Have you guys ever, we'll talk about it after the show, a ride and tie, because I've done a ride and tie. So it just for some reason reminded me of that. But anyway, really cool stuff coming. Next week, we'll have some cool guests. We'll talk more about the cash prize heat and what to look forward to in 2012. And Todd's going to tap dance.
No. Until you give me my 30 burpees for forgetting your bullhorn. Tell them what you did, Carrie.
I forgot my – I didn't forget it. I did not bring my bullhorn with me because it wouldn't fit in my carry-on, and I was being snobby and didn't want to check a bag.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Because all I heard was, wah, 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 excuse, wah, wah, wah.
That's pretty much what it was wah, 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 excuse, wah, wah, wah. That's exactly what it was. Boom.
Well, we do want to thank Jenny Tobin for coming on tonight. Margaret, thanks for jumping in on a pinch when it didn't look like we were going to get her in. Appreciate you coming in. Doing that, okay. Todd, always good to have you and the creative genius that you are when it comes to I love the reverse
elevated squirrel.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So if you're listening to the audio of this, of course, we put out the audio each Wednesday. And the video is available on Saturdays for you to look at. You definitely want to come back and catch the video because each and every week Todd does something crazy. And climbing up the middle of the stairs, climbing down the stairs. Todd, nice work tonight. Carrie and Mari, always good to see you guys. And I'll remind folks that we're out here each Tuesday night. We are live at 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. And everything you need to know about the show is over at radracing.org. We'll do it all again next Thursday. Ladies, good night.
Good night.
Night.
I could fall asleep.
I know. I'm a little sleepy today, too. The 15 degree weather, and I didn't have a thing, and my.
Oh, that's
gross.
Did you come in and your like sting? Like, it feels like someone's stabbing you in the.
I had my Where's Waldo. You know, you've seen that.
Oh, I love Where's Waldo.
So I had my Waldo cap, but my was just, I couldn't feel anything down here at all.
Yeah,
it's a great run. And
did you have like the post nasal?
Yeah,
where you're like, you come inside and you're like, what is gushing from my?
Yeah, well, you can't even. I couldn't even feel it anymore.
You just everywhere, and you're like, so you're like soupy. Like you come in and you're nasty. Like you're red and you're drooling and your nose is running. And people are like, what happened to you? And you're like, oh, it's running. And it was like 5 degrees outside.
Yeah, and they're like, why?
Yeah, what happened to you?
What happened to you?
What's wrong with you?